Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter, 2009. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and have been my Savior. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness endures forever.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. Yet so we are. The reason that the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here to talk about those voices in your head. Actually, no, we're here to talk about the readings we just heard. And in those readings, we heard about voices. So I thought perhaps we could talk about those a little, Dawn. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. You know, we have a great ability in our culture to tune out the voices we don't want to hear and only listen to the ones we do want to that tell us nice, good things. But and so I liked in today's readings about hearing the voice of the shepherd. And so can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think the way you just framed that actually just gave me an idea, Dawn.
Oh, boy. Of something on the fly.
Say, look at that. Yep. But when you're talking about the way we do hear all these voices and we tend to tune out the ones we don't want to hear, and one of the things where I see that all the time, especially for a younger generation, and maybe the people listening to this podcast would fit in that generation too, or even if they're not younger, but in the techno generation, where with the internet, we really have that ability to tune out anything we don't want to hear. A lot of times people go just to sites that tell them what they want to hear. You know, it's like I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I hang out on the Notre Dame websites and, you know, hear how great Notre Dame's going to be and then watch us go 3-9. So they don't really have anything, you know, any basis in reality, but it's everything that I want to hear. And not hearing, you know, the truth or something. And so, of course, you know, we're called to listen for the voice of truth. So it's not just listen for any voice, but the voice of truth. And that can often be difficult because sometimes that voice of truth can be something that's challenging to us or, like you mentioned, isn't the voice we want to hear. It's not always the most convenient voice, especially when it's Christ's, because a lot of times he says things that, you know, quite frankly, we'd rather do other things.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. So I think that is a good place to start is what are the voices that I'm listening to and whose voice is that? And of course, that's something that we really have to be discerning about. And that's not saying that all voices that aren't, I mean, certainly there could be voices that are, let's call them more neutral, where it's just entertainment or funny or something like that. But certainly we're called to be listening for Christ's voice as the one who leads us. So which voice are we going to follow in that sense or take advice from? It certainly should be the voice of God or the voice of Christ. In the first reading, there's a statement St. Paul makes that says, there is no salvation through anyone else, so anyone other than Christ. And that's important when we're talking about whose voice are we following, because what we learn is that Christ is the only voice that will lead to salvation. And that's what we believe as Catholics and as Christians, is that Christ says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But apart from Christ, there is no salvation. And that's not to say that everybody who doesn't believe in Christ is damned or something like that, because certainly Christ can save people, even those who, you know, might follow a different faith tradition, who might be Jewish or who might be Muslim or, you know, some other faith tradition. But what it does say is that anybody who is saved through Christ, whether or not they acknowledged him in their earthly life. So it's important that we don't take that message and run out and just start condemning everybody who's not a Catholic Christian or is not a Christian or something like that. So I want you to stop your persecutions, Dawn.
Oh, right. No. I had one scheduled for 3:00 this afternoon.
Have to cancel that.
Sister Nancy, who teaches at St. Bernard's, she took a class with her one time, and she said, I'm trying to put it, something to the effect of, you know, she can, when people come up to her and say, you know, how I believe in Buddha and I'm going to go to heaven, her response is something to the effect of, I can't say whether or not that's true. The only thing I know for sure is that I am saved through Jesus Christ. But who am I to know the mind of God? And so that was an interesting perspective on that. And it's sort of what you're saying too.
Right. And that theology is found right in the Second Vatican Council, too. Mm-hmm. In the documents of the Second Vatican Council is trying to clarify a statement that the church has held for a long time, which is with no salvation outside the church. And some people took that to mean, when we talk about the church, let me give some background here because I'm going to use two technical terms. We talk about there's something called the church militant and the church triumphant. And the church militant is the members of the church here on earth in our earthly life. And the church triumphant would include the saints in heaven and the angels and everybody, because they're all part of the church. So anybody who is in heaven is part of the church triumphant. And what Vatican II says is that line, no salvation outside the church, means that if you are in heaven, by default, you are part of the church triumphant, and so therefore you are part of the church. Ah. So it's not saying that, you know, you need to be part of the church militant, which is it also clarifies that, the church here on earth. It's not saying that there's no salvation outside the church militant, but it is saying that if you are saved, you are part of this church triumphant, and therefore you are part of the church, so you're not outside the church. So in other words, what it means is in heaven, we're not practicing 50 different faiths or 100 different faiths. There's only one faith that would be practiced in heaven.
Oh, that does sound like heaven. Oh my gosh.
So that's what Vatican II was trying to clarify. And that I think is important, because I mean that's exactly where, you know, Nancy Hawkins was coming out of, and, you know, I was coming out of with my earlier statement,
right,
too,
yeah.
Is that same theology that basically what it says is that, you know, if a Muslim is saved, he is saved by Christ, but that doesn't mean that because he's Muslim, he can't be saved. So now when we go to this Good Shepherd story here, which I like this a lot. I don't know, Dawn, if you're familiar. Actually, I do know because I told you a few minutes before the podcast, but I'm going to pretend like I don't know if you knew before I told you. How's that? So, the Good Shepherd is the image given, John Paul said, that's the image for the priest, is that of the Good Shepherd. That's what he is supposed to be, the one who lays down his life for his sheep. He's also supposed to be the one who will lead his sheep too. And I think that's a real challenging image. I know, as I myself, about a month and a few days away from ordination, think about this reading. I sit here and say, this is a challenging reading for me. The idea of leaving or laying down my life for the flock is a scary proposition. Laying down my life for anything is a scary proposition. But the other thing that's important in it is this fact that as priests, we are called to be leaders. And sometimes when you're leaders, if you're doing it right, you might have to lead people in ways they don't want to go or speak a truth that people don't want to hear. And that's also a form of laying down my life for my sheep, is making sure that they know the truth, whether or not it's convenient. And that can be a hard thing at times. The other thing, though, too, is it talks about the difference between a shepherd and a hired person, because the hired person, when the wolf comes or when that enemy comes, is the person who's going to run away. They're going to say, hey, you know, my salary doesn't cover this. Forget this. You know, you can't pay me enough to deal with this wolf or to deal with this kind of group. And the image of the Good Shepherd is the one who is going to be faithful to a sheep to the point of laying down his own life for a sheep, in his attempt to protect him from the wolf or from any kind of heirs of the world or that type of thing. And I think that can be a real challenge. Also, though, I think it's something that, aside just from priests, I mean, that's supposed to be a primary image that priests are called to. There is a sense, I think, in which other people, in which all Christians are called to, A, you know, follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, to follow Christ's voice. But also there's a sense in that we are also to follow Christ's example of laying down our lives for others. Now, it's for people who aren't priests versus people who are priests, it would certainly look different. We don't want to say that the priesthood is the same as the lay state and everything else. But there is a sense in which we are all called to listen to that voice and not to be the voice, or not to act like the hired man who's going to run away whenever the slightest problem comes. And well, in one area where I think we see this a lot is a lot of times within the church. I mean, certainly in the past few years between the sex abuse scandal and other things, embezzlements and things like that, that there's been a lot of problems within the church. And there is that tempt where, I mean, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. especially somebody like you in youth ministry could easily just say, you know, my salary, and I know what youth ministers get paid, and your salary does not cover that, you know, cover having to deal with that kind of a thing. So I think it's something, you know, commendable for someone like you, who's seen kind of the ugly side of the church or seen the predator coming after the church and didn't run away and flee from ministry in the church or flee from sticking with the church and saying, you know, there is good here and this enemy has come in, but you know, we're going to stand up and find out, you know, where we can go and be led away from the enemy rather than say, you know what, I'll see you guys later. I'll collect my my severance pay and find a new job. So,
well, I think it might, a lot of it comes down to where Jesus says, I know, they know me and I know them. And so that's a huge part of ministry. If you're just trying to minister in a vacuum or minister the way you think that they need to be ministered to, that does no good. But if you know the people around you and you know who belongs to you and they know they belong to you and vice versa, and you belong to them, I mean, it's the whole circle. It's that unity that helps people stay in times of crisis and comes back to the fold and makes you want to go search after that one person that ran away or things like that, although that's not in this reading, but we know it happens.
Right.
And so I think that's just a key part of remembering we are a community and we belong to the Good Shepherd, and we belong to each other.
That's very good. And I think that you're exactly right. And I also see that we're out of time, so we will leave people with that thought of belonging to the Good Shepherd, and hopefully they also will belong as members of our podcast and be back to join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.